TV.
Interchangeable. That was the word I was looking for yesterday. Interchangeable. What did I use? I said swapped out, tit for tat. I was teaching yesterday on how the substitutionary death of Christ, that he was our substitute, that he died instead of us. I was saying how wrong that was because it supposes that it was just a swap out. It was inconvenient for billions and billions of people to each be crucified. Theoretically, it was possible. We could have died for our own sins, but instead, Jesus Christ became our substitute, died, was crucified in our stead. And I said, no, that just makes him on par with us and us on par with him. And it's just a swap out. But the word I couldn't think of was interchangeable. What a word. I like to use five-syllable words whenever I can. No, it's actually just the opposite, but this word is loaded. Interchangeable. Can you imagine the audacity to think that we're interchangeable? Like, we could have done it. Christ did it instead of us. It's interchangeable. Just for convenience sake, we're going to have Christ do it. And oh, what a difference it makes. It seems subtle, I know. It seems subtle, but what a difference between instead of us and for us. We are not interchangeable with Christ. We sit in the stands and watch a great one, the Son of God, do what we could not possibly do. When you're watching an Olympic event, you don't imagine that you're going to go substitute for the gold medal gymnast. If you're watching a golf tournament, you're not going to substitute for the Masters tournament winner. You watch in awe at people who are doing something that you can't do. But people have the audacity to think that Christ is a mere substitute. But no, put that to bed yesterday, so that's enough on that. But Mike and the Book made a great point yesterday. He said, if Christ merely took our place and like took the penalty for our sins, and Christianity says the penalty for sins is eternal torment. That's what they say, right? What's the penalty for being a sinner? Eternal torment. And then they say Christ took the penalty, i.e. died in our place. Well, then Christ should be being eternally tormented if that is the penalty for sin. Ah, but these folks aren't known for their consistency or their logic. So, of course, they're not going to make that connection. But we make it here. Mike in the Book made it yesterday in the comment section. It was a great point. Actually, got overlooked. And it wasn't the penalty either. Remember that translation of Romans 3:25 that I don't like? And even in the concordant version, Romans 3:25, it wasn't the penalty of sins that was passed over. It was the sin effect, the effect of sin. Sin brings forth death. That is the ultimate effect of it. And it's also the cause of it. Ultimately, as I'm going to tell you today, I got a great message for you today. I'm Martin Zender, and you're at MZTV. I have a great message for you about why you are a sinner. You remember what I told you yesterday? It was shocking. I said this, it's not about you. It's not that God is mad at you. And I said you're not the problem. The problem is sin. And that is true. And there's another problem, and it is death. So I'm going to make another shocking statement today besides you're not the problem. I mean, that's shocking enough. When have you ever heard that you're not the problem? Because you've been made the problem. Organized religion, Christianity, has made you the problem. You're the problem. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. What are you going to do to get rid of your sin? At least choose Jesus Christ, who died as your substitute. You know, you always have to do something, because if you're going to go to hell for eternity, we have to make it your fault. And this is why those who claim that they are not going to hell for eternity, that they are going to heaven, they can't help but make it their credit. Every Christian carries that arrogance that they try to hide, they try to push it down, but it just doesn't work too well. They can't help themselves. But why are we sinners? The question is, did Adam pass sin on to us? Many people think Adam did pass sin on to us. He did not. Sin is not transmitted genetically. My dad, never forget this. I don't know why my dad told me this, but I was still a little guy. I was probably 9, 10, 11, or 12. I don't know, but he was talking about when he was a kid, his parents made him go to Bible school. And my dad was an unbeliever his whole life until possibly the end. I don't know for sure, but I preached, I taught the evangelist Paul with my dad on his deathbed like I never taught anything before. I didn't teach it. I shared it with my dad. So let's see. They say the hearing is the last thing to go, and I seem to be receiving in my dad's body that was going away. I seem to be picking up some sort of understanding and affirmation that we were talking about these things a couple days before he died, and the finale was something that will be remembered for the aeonian times, and God will remind me of it, and I will see my dad someday. But my dad was ruined on God by religion. He said, they told me that I was dirty at birth. They called it the dirty birth. I'll never forget that. I never heard that phrase before. And my dad said that's what ruined him on God. He went to these crazy, I guess even back in the late 30s, early 40s, when my dad was growing up, they had vacation Bible school. I don't know, his parents sent him to one of these summer fiascos, and they told him that he was dirty by birth, that he was rotten, that he was stained, that he was morally reprehensible. And it made him think that God made junk. And he probably remembered reading somewhere, somebody read to him that God made Adam and he was good. But then Adam sinned, and now Adam sucks. Well, Adam did sin. And the penalty for Adam, the consequence, I should say, for Adam sinning was what? To die, you shall be dying. With that in mind, and with the question in mind, which came first, death or sin? I'll first tell you, then I'll read the verse that proves it. It is death that is transmitted genetically to us through Adam. Adam is the only being who ever sinned first and then became mortal. That was the announcement God made. On the day you eat of the fruit of that tree, to die, you shall be dying. He didn't say you shall surely die. That's ridiculous. You shall surely die. Like you're not going to sort of die. You're going to really die. How do you sort of die anyway? How do you die more? No, he didn't say you shall surely die. That's King James monstrosity of a translation. To die, they saw the word for dying twice in there. So they just emphasize that you shall surely die. No, to die, you shall be dying. In other words, to die, eventually, you shall be dying. That is, you will become mortal. And your mortality will lead to your death. Your dying will lead to the cessation of life, otherwise known as death. And Adam was the only person that happened to. Because we do not die, we are not dying, we are not mortal because we sin. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. This is the concordant version of Romans 5:12. Therefore, even as through one man, sin entered into the world, right? You're following this so far, right? Pretty easy so far. Through one man, sin entered the world. Adam sinned. And through sin, death, right? There was no death operating in the human race. Adam and his wife, no death. But they sinned. And the consequence was that to die, you shall be dying. So the dying process started. And here Paul is reviewing that. As through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. Now listen to this. And thus, death passed through into all mankind. There's one more clause here that's very important, but I want to stop right there. And thus, death passed through. When you see pass through, think of genetics. Genetically, death passed through into all mankind. It is mortality that is transmitted genetically to every human being, not sin. Sin cannot be transmitted genetically. Think about it. How do you genetically transmit sin? Do you inherit sin from your father? No. How can your father's mistakes suddenly be your mistakes? I mean, you might eventually practice your father's mistakes, your mother's mistakes, but you don't inherit them. Sin, missing the mark, making mistakes is not transmitted genetically. But what is? It says it right here. Death passed through into all mankind. And what was the result of that? In other words, we're not born sinners, we're born mortal. Then why do we sin? We sin because we're mortal. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? This is important. I know this is like thunder and lightning. It's a split second thing, but still, it's the truth. Is you sin because you are dying. In other words, this is beautiful. Let me finish reading the verse. I'm going to start again, verse 12, Romans 5. Therefore, even as through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death, and thus death passed through into all mankind, on which all sinned. On which all sinned. I know that's awkward wording. This is a concordant version. But almost every other English version, you can read them for yourself, say that death passed through into all mankind because all sinned. It's giving two causes. Let me just read this out of one of these versions. They almost all say, because all sinned. New American Standard Bible. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, yes, and death through sin, yes, and so death spread to all mankind, yes, because all sinned. No, death didn't spread to mankind because all sinned. Death spread to mankind because Adam sinned and began to die, and it was death that was transmitted genetically to all mankind. It's not, and that death was not spread genetically because all the people sinned. The people sinned because death was transmitted genetically. What does this do? This frees you from being thought of as a dirty birth. This frees human nature from being a cursed thing. There's nothing wrong with human nature. How could there be? When Paul says in Romans that the nations by nature do the thing which the law demands, then how could the nature be bad if the nations by nature do that which the law demands? Romans 2:14, for whenever they of the nations that have no law by nature may be doing that which the law demands, these having no law are a law to themselves. By nature. How can nature be evil? This is what I was also, you were taught, my dad was taught, and this is another lie of Christianity, is that human nature is evil. But God gave us our nature. How can human nature be evil? It's not. But we're told we were sinners from our birth. No, we were mortal from our birth. And look at it this way. Mortality is the petri dish on which sin feeds. Mortality is the petri dish. Remember your biology class? Sin feeds on. When you take away mortality, sin does not have a host. Sin cannot thrive except on mortality. Do you ever read anywhere where Paul says that when we rise from the dead, we will no longer sin? Paul does not say anywhere that I can see that we will no longer sin. He says this body of sin may be nullified, but what he does say is that this mortal must put on immortality. And immortality, if you become immortal, this is for human beings now, not celestial beings, that's a different category of creation. But for human beings, you take away mortality and it becomes impossible to sin. Because sin thrives on mortality. Let me read Romans 5:12 again. Sin thrives on mortality. The problem is mortality. The problem is sin, yes. But now I'm giving you sin's problem. I'm giving you the thing that causes us to sin. Yes, I'll put it that way. I was gonna say no. I don't want to put it that way, but yes, I do. Yes, I do want to put it that way. It's the occasion. Maybe it's better to say that. It's the occasion. It's the reason we can't not sin. It's because we're mortal. In other words, this human nature has been devitalized. That's the problem. Nothing wrong with human nature. It's just been struck by a virus. Human nature has been devitalized by what? By mortality. Where did that come from? We inherited it from Adam. What's the result of that? Well, because we're mortal, we sin. On which all sin. Therefore, even as through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death, thus death passed through into all mankind, on which all sin. The sin comes on those who are mortal, because sin feeds on death. Just like flies feed on dog poop and all other kinds of poop, sin feeds on mortality. Take away the poop, where's the flies? No more poop, no more flies. No more death, no more sin. Ho-ho! You don't have to say, oh, the flies are gone. Just say, I cleaned the poop. You don't have to say the flies are gone, because the flies are gone, because the flies will be gone, because the flies don't have any more poop. Sin won't have any more death. So Paul doesn't need to say, we'll never sin again. That's what Paul doesn't say. He's saying, we'll never sin again. He doesn't have to say that. He just says, this mortal must put on immortality. And immortal people will not be able to sin. It's impossible. Impossible! Therefore, not only are you not the problem, sin is the problem, but you had no control over being born mortal, did you? No. And you sin because you're mortal. I'm going to stop sinning. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to take away your mortality first. How do you propose to do that? The only way we stop sinning is by recognizing that we died with Christ. Oh, there's a little hint at immortality. At least it's a hint of that death has taken the old humanity to the tomb with it, and that it's no longer a living, thriving thing. That's a good start right there. To reckon yourselves to have died with Christ, still waiting for immortality, yeah. But we're to live, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, as though resurrected from among the dead. Oh, there it is. There it is. Live as though. Walk as though resurrected from among the dead. Yes, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. We died together with Christ, crucified together with Christ. But you got to go to the next step. Walk then as if alive from among the dead. I know you're not alive from among the dead. I know that. It's calling what is not as though it were. It's a figure of speech. Calling what is not as though it were. Can't think of what the name of it is for now, but it'll walk like that. And there's the key. There's the key. Because you walk as though you're immortal, but you're not yet. But even that mental apprehension discourages sin because it anticipates it. It anticipates, like sin is anticipated. Sin doesn't like it when you ignore it because you have this mindset of like, I'm going to walk as if resurrected from among the dead. Sin says, what is this, a dress rehearsal? What is this? You're actually rehearsing the time when you will actually be immortal? Yes, I am. No, I feel devitalized. I don't have anything to eat. I feel like a fly without dog shit. No, do you? Good, good. Dirty birth, my dirty ass. No, dirty birth. No. Nothing wrong with human nature. You were born mortal, and you sin because you're mortal. I mean, it was like thunder and lightning. Yes, the mortality and sin, boom. I mean, I'm not saying you didn't sin in the womb, but you were mortal first. Chicken and egg. Chicken and egg. Thank you very much. And my apology to all the chickens.